you. I just want to tell you about three people who live locally, who are lovely, lovely people. In the community. They are mums who I've met through a community toddler group that I run here called Little Stars. And in different ways, they've just poured out and really connected with the group. So one of them has, for 2 years, she organised the cake rota and made sure we had fresh made cakes. I don't really have any bar at all. We have to have fresh homemade cakes and we have to have proper coffee. I don't really mind about the children and the resources. Anyone else have a heart for that, please partner with me. Got to get your priorities right. For 2 years I made fresh cakes every week, and then she took that on and volunteered to take it on, and I didn't ask, she just said I'll do that and organise that. And then there's this cupboard at the back over there, if you want to just look over your back left. I had to turn around, my spatial awareness is limited. Anyway, and over there it's like a Krypton factor exercise, something to get everything in that cupboard that can get in the cupboard when they're big plastic toys in a small space, so you can still walk in and nothing falls on you. It's an amazing gift. Anyway, she volunteered to do that as well for 2 years, put all the toys away in that cupboard. And then we have another lovely mum who is, she just did craft for ages every week, and she even carried on doing it when her daughter wasn't here anymore and had gone to preschool, because she just liked being here. And then a third mum who turns up early at the moment with a very small child, and she sets up. And we're going to come back to them later. They're lovely people and friends in the community. We just, Chris and I just went away to the south of France, which was really nice. It's like every day is like a week. It was amazing. And such a nice time away. But there was a really lovely moment in it when we thought, we're on holiday here. We love this, this is great. But we know where we belong. We belong with you. We belong at Hope. This is where our people are. We belong in Hotwells. And we belong in Bristol and this area. And this is where we're going to be for the long haul. This is our place of belonging. We found it. And that's an incredible privilege. And we want everyone else to experience what we've experienced. We want people within Hope, but also people who don't yet know Jesus, to find that place of belonging in the world, so that wherever we go, we know where our home is. It's where our heart is. Here we have a vision, Chris and I, to see worshipping communities established, and we'll be talking about that again and again and again and again. Even when they're established, we'll talk about it again and again and again, because they're places where Jesus is worshipped, where people who know Jesus can get to know him better, and people who don't yet know him can find him in that, those organic, natural relationships. And those communities can be through networks of friendships or shared interests, or they can be neighbourhoods where you live. So how do we, this week and next week, Chris and I are going to talk about what Jesus is one strategy for doing this. He's so simple, Jesus, and anything that is complicated or heavy is not of him. He's just so clear and simple in his approach. And he gives one strategy for how we can unlock communities and bring them to Jesus. And we're going to look at that now. So if we all can get out Luke 10, it's page 792 in this one. And I'm actually going to read it in my version, which means you have to really concentrate as you read it, because the words will be slightly different. But that's good. Luke 10. So Jesus has just sent out 12 disciples, and now he's going to send out another 70 or 72. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. So there are places in people's lives that Jesus is about to go to, and we get the privilege of going there first and preparing the way for Jesus to come into people's lives, just as that happened for us too. And they went out in pairs, and one of our passions with worshipping community is you can't build community or create it if you don't exist it and have it yourself. So we always would encourage people to at least have threes or fours they walk with closely and know what it is to experience community, because isolation breeds isolation, but community breeds community. So we need to know what vulnerability and transparent and celebratory and intimate relationships feel like ourselves in order to bring them to other people. So Jesus says the harvest is plentiful but the workers are few, and that's what he's saying now to us here in this area and city and nation. There is a plentiful harvest, there is a heart cry for connectedness and wholeness and healing. I read it every day in the papers and I see it every day on the news, and I've never had so much hope. Go, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If a person who promotes peace is there, or a person of peace, their peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move round from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. And then we go to verse 16. Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. But whoever rejects me rejects him who sent me. Verse 17. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. And he replied, I saw Satan, who is a spiritual enemy called it just simply means the accuser, like fall like lightning from heaven. I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And so what is Jesus's simple strategy? That if you don't remember anything else about this, just remember these three words. It's the person of peace. Can you all just turn to the person next to you and say, the person of peace? I quite like the word pop as a way of remembering that. So that's it. That's all you really need to know. Everywhere you go, every community you come across, every network, every neighborhood will have a person or a household of peace, and you have to find them. It's a really fun divine treasure hunt. Find that person of peace, that household of peace that's just desperately hungry and waiting for reconnectedness with God and with one another. And they will welcome you. Just a bit of an aside on when and how you spot that, and we'll look into that in a minute. But just the first thing on if we are rejected, it's not personal. We need to deal with our rejection issues because they're not true or real. We're not rejected. He is rejected, and we're ambassadors, and he rejects him. And that doesn't necessarily mean the be-all and end-all of that person's spiritual journey. Like Jesus, he asked someone to follow him who's a very wealthy person, and that person couldn't disentangle his identity from wealth, so he couldn't follow Jesus. And Jesus doesn't cajole or bargain or try and make it right. He just lets him go. And then we see this incredible man called Saul, who was so actively resistant and rejecting of the message of Jesus that he would put people in prison and even kill people. And then one day he met Jesus, and that changed everything. And he became the architect of faith communities of Jesus, which we now call churches. They didn't call them then churches then. Faith communities of followers of Jesus all across Southern Europe, and he wrote his letters to them, became the majority of our New Testament. So we don't need to worry if people reject us. We're not designed to bear the burden of what that means for them. All we're designed to do is find the person of peace. So how do you spot a person of peace? I think in this passage, and we see it in Matthew as well, there are three there are three attributes or virtues or characteristics of a person of peace. Firstly, they welcome you. It says here in verse 8, if someone promotes peace or is a person of peace, sorry, going back to verse 6, they welcome you in, they have you for meals, they let you stay in their house. In fact, it says, for the worker deserves his wage, suggesting that instead of us paying our own way, there's a way of discerning whether there's a person of peace is they pay. They pay the way for you. They pay for your board and lodgings. And when you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. So you come under their covering and authority, and you honour their way of life and their culture, and you are welcomed by them. And I'd say, going back to these three examples I gave at the beginning of mums in the local community, while they came here, I didn't go to their house, they've welcomed this place, they've welcomed this chapel in the community. There is a grace and a favour and an open door here in their lives, and that's a sign of a person of peace. There's grace, there's favour, it's natural. They like being with you and they want you to be around them. Because this is a high bar on authentic, rich, transparent community here. There's a high bar. This isn't about saying a message, then running off. This is about showing a whole way of life and backing it up with words and powerful healings. This is living with people. Maybe actually living with them. It may be living next door to them. It's being very close and showing everything you are and receiving that welcome. If it's not that, then it's not of Jesus, because that's what he's like. That's what he did. So the first thing they do is they welcome. The second thing is this person listens to the message of Jesus. So these three lovely examples of friends earlier, all three of them, one of them came up to me and requested prayer, healing, like a physical healing prayer for breakthrough for a situation of someone else they knew, and they requested me to pray, and I prayed out loud in the name of Jesus with them. And the other two, in conversation, shared situations where they required breakthrough and healing, for other people, and I laid hands on them and prayed for them in the name of Jesus that the situation would receive that breakthrough. Paul says, how can people believe if they haven't actually heard the words? We assume people might know things, and they don't necessarily know. So we need to actually talk about the name of Jesus. Jesus simply means salvation, wholeness, rescue, peace, and he is the key to it as a person. It was a very normal name. It wasn't an odd name. Every other person could be called it, but its meaning is what we're all looking for, that wholeness and that reconnection. So we have to talk about this person, Jesus, who was God in human form. And we know if someone's a person of peace because they might not understand or believe, but there's something in it that they get, and they listen. There's an attentiveness in their spirit as if what you're saying is true and will bring that healing. And then finally, they physically serve you in a material way. It's a highly mutual, reciprocal relationship. We serve, we pour out our lives and reorientate around this good news, and we go where the daddy, father wants us to go. But they also serve, and in this, they pay a great price to receive this person. They eating and drinking, so they bring out really good food, they're hospitable, they're open, they may even open up a spare room which they could otherwise receive money from. So these people of peace, pay a great price to receive a message. And I found that just in these three examples locally, they've all paid a price. I've not asked them to do anything, I've not paid them to do anything. But they have come, and there's something about being part of something that is community and Christ-centered that they're drawn to, and they're people of peace. So they welcome, they listen, and they serve. And Jesus has this lovely encounter with a person of peace at a well. She's a Samaritan woman. She meets him at a time of day in the ancient Near Middle East where you wouldn't get water. So she was an outcast. She'd had multiple relationships. And she was dissatisfied in her spirit. And he is interesting because he connects with her, which shocks the culture of the day. And he asks her to serve him. So he says, can you give me a drink of water because I'm thirsty? And that maybe in there somewhere there was a testing. Are you a person of peace? Will you serve me? Will you? Is there something about me that you want to pour into? And she gives him water and quenches his thirst. It's, if any of you's been in a very hot country, actually being given water is an incredibly kind and generous and sacrificial thing. It doesn't mean much to us who have access all the time to running water and need to drink more. But in that culture, he was thirsty and she gave him water. She very practically served his need. And then he says to her, you're trying to find your spiritual water in relationships. You're trying to get your needs met through these relationships and it's not working, but I've got a water for you that will well up into eternal life and you will never ever thirst, never thirst again. That's what he offers all of us, is an invitation to break out of these ways we try and heal ourselves that never work and give us a water that never thirsts again. And she listened. She absolutely got it. In fact, one of the first key declarations that he is more than just a man or a prophet or a good man, that he really was God incarnate, came from her. And then she goes back to her town and tells everyone, because he has some words of knowledge about her, that she knew that he wouldn't know unless he was a prophet, such as the amount of men she'd been sleeping with. He knew that. And she is blown away by that and unraveled by his heart for her and his knowledge of her and realizes he is who he says he is. So he goes back to her. She goes back to her town and says, he's told me everything I ever knew. He reads me like a book. And the whole town come to the Lord. He then comes and stays there for 2 or 3 days and they all meet with Jesus. The whole town welcome her. She is a person of peace in that community because the whole household, the whole town, the whole community come to Jesus because of her. So she's a person of peace. She served him, she listened to him, and then she welcomed him. So that's all we're doing. We're finding these people. There are people everywhere, and we get the privilege of treasure hunting with the Lord to find them. And one last little example in Acts is a man called Paul. Would go, he'd have a very specific strategy wherever he went. He went to the synagogue first, where the Jewish meeting places were. And in a town called Philippi, there weren't enough Jewish men to make a synagogue. You needed 10 at the time, you still do. And so there was a place of prayer. So he found the place of prayer, and there was a woman there called Lydia, who was a wealthy entrepreneur. And he shares the message about Jesus, and she listens to him. She recognizes that what he's saying is true, there's something about it. And she welcomes him into her home and she serves him. She persuades him, actually. He's quite an unpersuadable man, Paul, but she persuades him to come into her home and come off what he thought he was going to do. And he stays there and her household, her extended network of family and business relationships and so on come to the Lord. She is a person of peace for him in Philippi. And Chris will be speaking again on this next week, and he'll give more examples as well. A book I happened to read yesterday, which is totally unrelated to today, but happens to have a chapter in it, about is an unprecedented number of people of Muslims becoming followers of Jesus. Unprecedented since the history of Islam in the 7th century. Hundreds of thousands of people finding that Isa, who is a prophet in the Quran, son of Mary, who brings healing and deliverance, is actually the Son of God, the incarnate one, the Word made flesh, and they're meeting him in dreams and visions. And the good news about him, that he heals us and redeems us and forgives us, is spreading like wildfire. And interestingly, in this book, there's one chapter, a whole chapter devoted to this idea, this teaching of Jesus called the Person of Peace. And it's this strategy that's being used by people in these communities and cultures of extended networks. And so there are hundreds and thousands of people coming to know Jesus, and they've identified this particular organization that's just looking into it and writing up about it, have identified 18,000 people of peace that have been unlocked. They've unlocked communities to hundreds of thousands coming to the Lord. And that's that is what we're wanting everyone here to be trained up in and to do. So I'm going to pray now. Jesus, thank you that your ways are so simple, they're so light. Just throw off all the heaviness of what we think it looks like to share you with people, all the heavy burdens, all the lies, all the religion. We just throw it off now, we shake it off. We know, Jesus, that there are, just like apples are ripe on a tree, there are people who are ripe to hear the message, because we know ourselves that once we were ripe and someone shared with us. And I know times in my life, I've been so hungry and thirsty, I've done anything to get hold of it. I've gone anywhere, paid any price. We've all done that. We know what that feels like. And we just get that incredible privilege of partnering with you to on that divine treasure hunt to find others who are ready and ripe. And like an apple that isn't quite ready, we don't want to pick what isn't quite ready because it's bitter. We want to wait for the right timing for people. Thank you, Jesus, that you have worshipping communities in your mind's eye across this region where people follow you and they find you. And on a Sunday, they might go to different churches, but they're all followers of you and find you and see people become followers of you in their these worshipping communities. Thank you. Thank you that this isn't new and it isn't special. It's happening all over the world and it's happened through history. Thank you, Jesus, that you've even shown me people of peace in this community through this very, very simple insight. And Lord, my heart is that everyone here who doesn't know Jesus, the fact that you've come means you're a person of peace. You're a person of peace. And every person who does know Jesus, my heart is that you identify your community, your worshipping community you're designed to be part of. And together as a community, you seek out the people, the households of peace.